But we are so glad that you're here, especially if you're a guest with us today. You just know that we are just glad you're here. We've been praying for you. We've been wanting to have you and invite you, so we're glad you're here with us. Can I tell you just what a good week it is for all of you to be here? This is just a really good week to be here. I can't tell you how glad I am and we are that you're here. And if you're someone who's here every week, if you're someone who's here from time to time, if you're somebody who's here for the first time, or someone that's come as a guest of our grand opening, I am truly, truly glad that you're here today. Why am I so glad that you're here? Well, of course, we're celebrating God's wonderful gift in this facility. But also, friends, we're beginning a new message series today that I think is going to be incredibly meaningful as we begin to talk about understanding our identity. We're going to have some life groups beginning this week, going through the book by the same title, Identity, by Eric Geiger. If you've not plugged in yet to one of those life groups, I encourage you to stop at the spotlight table in the atrium as you leave, and there's a place there you can sign up for a group. You can also get a hold of a book, Identity, that's there if you haven't gotten one already. If for some reason we run out of books, we'll get your name on a list and we'll have them here next week. So encourage you to plug in there as we get started with all this. You know, friends, our identity brings up a lot of discussion in our world today, doesn't it? I mean, it's bringing a lot of discussion. There are a lot of things that we may turn to in order to identify who we are. Just in my own identity, I can say several titles. I'm a man. I'm proud to say that. I'm a man. I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a dad, a pastor. And I'm a very skilled, you don't know this about me, but a very skilled dish stacker. I can stack dishes with the best of them. Is there a picture that we can show of that? That is small compared to what I usually can do. You see, I have a goal when I wash dishes, and that is not to have to dry a single one. So if I can stack it high enough and I can get them all in there without, see the art, the work that's done there, the detail. See this pot on the side? See the handle down there? That handle holds it in place. And you can stick it in there just right so that it won't fall. And if I can stack it well enough, I don't have to dry anything as long as nobody comes along and bumps it. I'm in good shape. The point is, though, friends, that there are a lot of things that identify me. And you know what? There's a lot of things that identify you as well. But are those identifiers truly who we really are? Or are they just roles that we play? Truth is that people in our nation get pretty confused about their identity. And guess what? God has something to say to you about your identity and to say to me. And that's what this series is going to explore. We're going to start today with a really important thing that you and I both need to know. And it's simply this: you are no mistake. You are no mistake. There is real intention in your identity. And as we get ready to talk about that, let's go to the God who made us, and let's pray and ask him to lead our time. God, thank you for this day that we celebrate new things like a facility, but there are new things even more important, and that's our identity that we have in you. God, speak to us today about who we truly are and who we truly can be, and about the fact that we are no mistake. God, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to do me a favor as we get started today. I want you to look around the room. Take a look around the room at God's creation all around you. That's right, God's creation. We're not talking about the sun and the moon or the trees and the water, not that part of creation. I'm talking about all of you and me, God's greatest things that he's made, his most prized creation, you and me, human beings. Take a look at his creation all around you. And you know what? As I look around this room, I can tell you that God wasn't messing around when he created you. God really wasn't messing around. What an awesome example of God's workmanship you all are. You are a fine crowd out there to look at today. Look around once and just see what I mean. Do you realize that there's no one else here, friends, just like you? And isn't that cool? Nobody else just like you. I mean it. Look around you. Tell someone next to you, Tell someone next to you that there's no one else in the world just like you. Go ahead and tell your neighbor that. There's no one else in the world just like you. You guys participate great. Really good job. And then they did it at 8:30, but I didn't have to like stop them. They did it and they were done. You guys just keep going. Anybody ever watch the show on TV, CSI, Crime Scene Investigation? You ever see it? I think we have a picture. You didn't know I was a star, did you? I didn't know that was coming today. That was a surprise to me as well. I know this show's been around for a while, and honestly, I've never watched a whole episode. I've seen bits and pieces, that's it. But I am very intrigued with the idea behind this show. These professionals go onto the scene of a crime, and through all their forensics, all their investigating, all their gathering of information and evidence that they collect on the scene, they're able to find the culprits to the crime. That's absolutely amazing. The forensic capabilities we have today are amazing. And do you know how they do it? They do it because mostly because of something called, a simple thing called DNA. You've heard of DNA, right? Simply put, here's what DNA is. Here's what we can say about it. God didn't create anybody else exactly like you. DNA. Every one of us human beings have different DNA, a different makeup that no one else in this world has. Here are some truths about your identity and about mine. First, when God made you, here's the first truth. He made you unique. Unique. That's one part of your identity. There's a book in the Bible called Psalms. And in Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through the first part of verse 15, it says this of God. It says, "You are the one who put me together inside my mother's body. And I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me. Everything you do is marvelous. Of it, I have no doubt. Nothing about me is hidden from you." You know, when you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed and you look into that mirror and you see your hair all out of whack, you know? And you got your bad breath blowing back in your face that the morning brings you, and you're wiping the eye boogers out of your eyes and all that stuff. When you look at yourself, here's what I want you to do. With all confidence, I want you to say, "Hey, I'm a masterpiece. I am an original creation because there's no one else in the world just like me. A masterpiece." Let's think a little bit more about the ways that you're unique. I mean, just take a look at your hands. Think about your fingerprints. Look at the color of your skin and the color of your hair and the color of, and the shape of your eyes and your nose. Look at the people sitting next to you. Nobody else matches you. Some are taller, some are shorter, some are slimmer, some are not. The best word that defines you and defines me is unique. Hey, you know what? I'm unique in and of myself. Most of you don't know this. Some of you do know this. But I actually was born with one leg longer than the other. It's about an inch and a half difference. I wear about a half inch lift in my one shoe that helps some, but it doesn't do the take care of everything. I mean, you can see it like this. I have one leg longer than the other. If I sit with my back flat to the wall and have my legs out, it looks kind of like this. Oh my gosh, my arms are too. Just kidding about that. But it does, it looks kind of like this. And this, another thing unique just to me, I need somebody, Daniel, would you look into my eyes? Look into my eyes. Do you notice something about my pupils?
I can't see that close.
You can't see that close. All right, we'll go to somebody who can. Look into my eyes.
Like, let me get my bifocals ready
One of my pupils is smaller than the other one. One of them has almost like an ink blot spot beneath it. Can you see that at all? You see it?
Yes.
Our district superintendent saw it this morning, so he'll vouch for me if you can't see it. When I go to an eye doctor, they love to look at my eyes because they find that unique. They don't see that very often. I'm in unique in and of myself. I'm special. Some people would say that in other ways. And you know, that's just the uniqueness of our physical selves. The real cool thing is how we're unique on the inside, isn't it? Isn't that what's really cool? What if this room were full of a bunch of Marks? Or a bunch of Mikes? Or a bunch of Willie, our family life director? Wouldn't it be boring if God gave us all the same personality, especially if it was Mikes? Wouldn't that be boring? Some of us want to be the life of the party. Some of us don't want to be seen at the party. Some of us would rather stand and hold up the wall at the party. Some don't even want to go to the party, right? Some want to work the party and talk to everybody they can, while others would rather be in a deep conversation with two or three people in the same corner all night, and they're perfectly fine there. Some like sports. Some like music. Some like to read. Some like me find that a good excuse for a nap. It's not really true. I like to read. I just really have struggled with reading. I always have. I think I may have a reading disorder or something. But if you were in my office and saw all my books, you wouldn't know that to be true, because I didn't say I don't read. I said it takes extra effort for me to do that. Some are artistic. Some are dramatic. Some are really dramatic. Some are really, really, really dramatic. Some are intellectual and some are emotional. Some are very emotional. And one thing is for sure, there are no two alike. Hey, I got four kids, and the evidence to me is quite clear. Two people, a man and a woman, having four kids entirely different from the same mom and dad. It's very clear. You see, here's the key, friends. God uniquely designed you, and he loves you. And you know what? He doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Some of you here today may be thinking, well, you know, you're wrong. He sure made a mistake with me. And let me tell you that you're wrong. You're dead wrong. We make mistakes. Our parents make mistakes. Those around us make mistakes. But God doesn't. You're no accident. There may be accidental parents, but there's no such thing as accidental babies. Some of you today need to hear this. You need to hear that you're not a mistake. God made you. God created you. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1. It says, everyone listen, even the foreign nations across the sea. The Lord chose me and gave me a name before I was born. Friends, before a single one of you was born, God knew your name. Before a single one of my kids was born, God knew their name. We lost one child in a miscarriage, and God already knows that child's name, and we will know it someday too. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You may not be living in God's plan for your life right now, but he has a plan for you just the same. Here's the second part of your identity and my identity. Get this, you're a delight to God, a delight. And some of you need to hear that today. You're an absolute delight to God. God loves you for who you are, and his plans for you are absolutely awesome. In Psalm 149, verse 4, this one's not in your message outline because I added it later, but listen to this verse. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let's compare ourselves just for a moment to the rest of God's creation. Take another look, look at any kind of animal or plant or living thing that God has created. You know what? It is clear that human beings, he's done something unique in creating us. The most unique thing that he's done is this. Number three, God created us for a special relationship with him. Created us for a special relationship. That's the third part of your and my identity. And do you know that he didn't do that with any other part of his creation, any other creature that he made? And that means several things to us. For one, it means this. We're made in God's image to rule over the world. We're made to rule over those other things in the world. Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground. Friends, we're not just placed here on this planet in a circle of life, living with all of the other parts of God's creation. We're placed here in a special relationship with God, where he's actually entrusted us as the masters in command. the rulers over all of his, the rest of his creation. Now, that doesn't put us in a prideful place. It puts us, friends, in a responsible position. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Friends, the Bible doesn't say that about any other part of God's creation. It doesn't say that he breathed into the nostrils of a dog or a cat or a cow. God only talks about human beings in this way. God actually breathed into our own breath, into our nostrils of human beings, his breath of life. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them different. They didn't graze off of the land like cattle. God made them as the caretakers to cherish, care for, and cultivate his creation. He created them to be his partners in making the world a beautiful living home for all. Another incredible thing about how God created us for relationship with him is this, that he created us with something called free will. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. God made you for a relationship with him, but get this, he wanted it to be a two-way relationship. He wanted you to choose whether you want that relationship with him or not. It's called free will. The ability to choose right from wrong is unique to human beings. With free will, we have the capacity to think for ourselves, to reach for our ideals, and to even decide about our relationship with God. You see, we talked about this again a few weeks ago, but God didn't want a bunch of puppets, a bunch of Muppets where he pulls all the strings. He didn't want people to choose him and to live for him because they had to. He wanted people to choose him and to live for him because they wanted to, out of their own free will, their own choice. But with free will also comes this, friends, the possibility of sin. Deciding to live apart from God. Sin is living according to our own plans rather than God's love and design for our lives. It's living outside of that wonderful plan that we talked about that God's giving us for our lives. And the word sin actually comes from a Greek word, hamartia, which literally means this. That Greek word means missing of the mark. The word sin is a term that they use in archery. You know, bows and arrows. You've seen archery before, right? Some of you have done it before. And what's the goal in archery with a target? You're trying to hit the bullseye, right? That's the goal. You want to hit the bullseye. Do you know what the technical word is for it when you miss the bullseye? It's the word sin. So in other words, you have the bullseye and you shoot your arrow. If you hit it, you're on target. You're on the mark. If not, even by this far, it's called the sin. Or if you miss it by this far, or if like me, you miss the whole target. It's all the same. It's called the sin, missing the mark. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, all have missed the mark, and fall short of the glory of God. You can take the greatest marksman in the world. He might hit that bullseye 1,000 times, and I guarantee you, eventually he'll miss. He'll grow fatigued. He'll get distracted. He'll be bumped. Something will happen and he'll be off just a bit. 1,000 and 1,001. He sins, misses the mark. We all have. That means that every one of us in here have missed God's mark at some time in our life, and probably the reality is we do it every day. A quick review of the Ten Commandments makes that very clear to us. Adam and Eve were the first. They ate fruit from a tree that God told them not to. They disobeyed God. And ever since then, humans are born with this bent, this propensity towards sinning, toward disobedience to God. And here's the thing, friends. Sin is not simply an individual problem. It's a societal thing. It's a social problem, a breakdown of social relationships. Rather than living as friends with God, people hurt and kill human beings. Rather than living as partners with God, nations build weapons that threaten the destruction of the world. People do horrific acts just to strike fear and terror into the hearts of others. Some people wonder why God allows bad things to happen. Well, what did we say earlier? If you remember, we're the masters in command. God put human beings as rule over this world, and we're all sinful. Bad things don't happen in the world because of God. They happen because of sin. Friends, they happen because of us, because of human beings. We had a whole message a few weeks ago on why bad things happen. If you want to go deeper into that, go to our webpage to a series that we have called Life Questions. And one of those questions deals with that. It'll give you some more information around dealing with some of those hard questions like that. However, friends, the very worst aspect of the fact that we sin is that sin separates us. It separates us from God. God created us for a relationship with him. Sin separates us from that relationship, which is the fourth thing. We're separated from that relationship. That's the next part of our identity. Before Jesus, before we have Jesus in our heart and his forgiveness, we're separated from our relationship with God. Why? Because, friends, God's sinless. God's absolutely holy and perfect and clean, and he won't compromise his sinlessness in a relationship with sin. This separation from God causes us to have this inner emptiness. This emptiness is often referred to as a God-shaped void in our lives, a hole in our hearts that nothing but God can fill. Friends, God was meant to be present in our hearts and in our life. And when we live separated from him because of sin, it creates an emptiness that nothing else can fill, a void. That's where our real identity confusion comes from in our society. We're in an identity crisis. When I was in high school, I came probably to the greatest sense of that emptiness in my whole life. You see, I knew something was missing, but I just didn't know what it was. So I tried to fill the void with many different things. I tried to fill it with sports, and you know, that didn't work. I tried to fill it with playing drums in the marching band. I carried the big bass drum, and you know what, that didn't work. I tried to fill it with getting the lead in the musical my senior year of high school. I actually accomplished getting the role, and that didn't fill me. I tried to fill it with friends. I had great, trusted friends, but that still didn't work. I even went to church, and I still had this void that I just couldn't seem to fill. For me, that void felt much like a real lack of purpose in life, a lack of fulfillment. I didn't get in trouble. I stayed clean. I didn't smoke, drink, or chew, or run with the girls that do. I didn't do any of those things. But friends, I was still empty. I was trying to fill this square hole with a round peg, and all that does is leaves gaps. So my life was gappy. Friends, the only way that I could fill the emptiness in my heart and the only way that you can fill the emptiness in your heart is with Jesus Christ. It's a God-shaped void. Only God can fill it. It's also the only place that you'll find your real identity. You won't find your identity in the toys that you have. It won't come from with the right clothes or from money or fancy cars, popularity, education, success, careers. It won't come with the right relationship or the right family or the right job or sex or drinking or drugs. They won't do it. I've been around enough to know, I've known and seen enough people to know that in the end, all of those things will leave you empty. They won't fill the void, and they won't clear up your identity confusion. Here's the interesting thing. God loves us so much that he created us with that void, that God-shaped void, that he designed it in our hearts so that it could be filled with him, so that we can have a relationship with God, and he can have a relationship with us. It's such an amazing thought to me that the God of all the universe actually wants to have a relationship with me, but you know what? He does, and he wants to have a relationship with you too. You see, the only thing in all the universe that can fill that God-shaped void in your heart and mind and that can give us a true sense of identity is God himself through receiving Jesus Christ, his son. Anything else that you use to try to fill that hole will inevitably leak because they can't fill the gap. Friends, the most incredible thing of all about our identity, your identity and mine, is number five, is this. God is persistent. God is persistent to have that relationship with us, and he'll continue to seek us out so that we can know our true identity. Why do you think you're here this morning? You given any thought to that? Why is it you think you're here? Do you think you're here because your friends drug you here? Do you think you're here because your family and friends are here and it's a good social place to be? Are you here because you got an invitation? Are you here because you want to learn maybe more about God, or you've come to worship God and you think that might happen here? Friends, I want to tell you, if those are the reasons why you're here, why you think you're here today, I got to tell you, I think you're wrong. I think you're at least partially wrong. That's not why you're really here. You're here because God is seeking you out. You see, your whole life is much bigger than you ever knew that it was. And it's not about you. It's about God. The God of all the universe is seeking you out to have a relationship with you. Wow. Wow. God offers us a life-giving relationship just as we are. Now, when we accept that relationship, we won't stay the way that we are. And that's what the rest of this message series will be about, our new identity. But He wants us to come to him just as we are. He wants us to be connected with him as a life source. He wants to give you the purpose that I was missing. He wants us to find that fulfillment that only he can fill. There's a churchy word for this relationship that God's offering. Can I use one churchy word today? Here's that churchy word for you. It's the word grace. Most of us have heard the word grace before. We probably have a lot of different definitions we might give to grace. Maybe you've heard the word, but you don't really know what it means. The grace that we're talking about today is not the woman named Grace that works in the cubicle next to you or down the line from you in the factory. The grace that we're talking about isn't that prayer that you say before meals, watch out mouth, watch out gum, watch out stomach, here it comes. That's not what we're talking about. When we talk about God's grace, we're talking about something much, much greater. The word grace means unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. It comes to you as a free gift. In other words, it's when we receive something that we haven't earned and that we don't deserve. Grace is God's unconditional, no strings attached love for each and every one of us. It's a divine love that will never let us go. In other words, if you don't accept God's grace, his unconditional love for you, for yourself, he'll continue to seek you out your whole earthly life. God's grace pursues us throughout our lives to bring us into this relationship, this friendship with him. Did you catch that? God's in hot pursuit for you. God's in hot pursuit for you. Simply put, through this grace, God goes before us to draw us toward him and a true life into our true identity. God's working to open our hearts and our mind to the reality of himself. I can see different ways through my life where God sought after me to bring me to a point until I finally accepted him. He used my family, specifically my parents. My dad always made sure we were in church every week, and I'll tell you, I didn't get a lot out of my church growing up. I really didn't, but I at least began to have awareness of God. My mom didn't go to church with us, but she's the one that she would get on her knees by our beds at night, and she taught us how to pray. She's the one that told me it doesn't have to be a rehearsed prayer. Just say to God what you want. Just talk to him. That was so different than what I knew in my church. God even used media to pursue me. He used a movie, and I may have shared this here before, but when I was a kid at Easter time, they used to run this miniseries called Jesus of Nazareth. Anybody remember Jesus of Nazareth? I was captivated. I was drawn into that movie everywhere, the story of this Jesus who I didn't know yet. This movie greatly intrigued me. I didn't know who Jesus was, but boy, I sure wanted to. God also used a friend of mine, Chris. Chris had a relationship with Christ, and he nagged me, and he nagged me, and he nagged me until I went to youth group with him. At that youth group, I began to hear about God in ways I hadn't heard about God before. It was a personal way, as if these people actually knew God as a friend. You see, God was pursuing me with all kinds of things in my life that gave me pieces of a puzzle, but I didn't know what he looked like, kind of like the puzzle pieces we saw in the scoop earlier. It's like I had him in the box, but I didn't know how to put them together. So I had this distorted image of who God was and what he meant, what he would mean to me. I would guess that maybe some of us here today find ourselves in the same place. God finally used a youth pastor who sat down and explained to me many of the things we've been talking about today, and the pieces of the puzzle began to come together, and I could finally see God for who he was and what that had to do with me. And I committed my life to Jesus Christ, and my relationship began with him on that day, and my life has never been the same since. There are many ways that God may be revealing himself to you. It may be through the care and the sacrifice of loved ones who embody God's love toward you. It may be through good role models and special friends. It may be through tough times that God is seeking you out. It may be through special times of peace or an inner awareness or through happiness. It may be through a church or your relationship with Christian friends. It may be through your need to change or a need for help. You may simply know that things need to change soon because you're tired and you're not going to make it much longer. You're not going to survive if something doesn't change. One thing is for sure. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ into your life, God is seeking you out. He's in hot pursuit of you. Friends, are you somewhat confused about your identity? Do you want to become all that God designed you to be? Are you open to the relationship that will make that possible? Listen to me. If God cared enough about you to breathe the breath of life into your nostrils, don't you think he cares enough about you to make your life full and abundant? Don't you think he cares enough about you to make your identity secure? The Bible says that this is what he wants for you. I'm not talking about being happy. I'm talking about being fulfilled and purposeful. God created you unique. You are no mistake. He created you to have a relationship with himself, and he offers that here to you today. Your true identity begins with your relationship with God. We'll begin to unpack that identity of what it means to walk in a relationship with God in the rest of this message series and through our life groups that are beginning this week. It's simple, friends. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins, to save you from those sins, and to come into your life and to lead you, then you simply start by saying, God, here I am. Here I am, God. Listen, ask him to forgive you, and he will. Ask him to save you, and he will. Ask him to lead you, and he will. Ask him to transform you. Ask him to fill that God-shaped void in your heart. Ask him to begin showing you your true identity that he created you for. And friends, he will do just that. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, you are working in our lives. You're working in this room right today. We have guests and friends among us. We have people that have been here most of their lives. And for all of us, the answer is still the same. It's having Jesus in our heart to show us our true identity. So if there's anyone here today, no matter how long they've been here, who says, I'm lacking that purpose that you said you lacked, or that fulfillment. Today can start anew. You can begin to know your true identity today simply by starting with Jesus saying, here I am. Ask him to come in. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to lead you. Friends, he'll do just that. God, we love you. We thank you for your Spirit with us this morning. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. Today is a communion Sunday, and most of you probably aren't aware of this. It's actually World Communion Sunday. That means that churches all over the world are celebrating the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup today, and we are celebrating that as well. If you're a guest with us today, I just first want to tell you that we celebrate open communion. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. You're welcome to celebrate that with us. I'll explain to you how we're going to do that. If you're not comfortable and you're a guest here, don't feel obligated. But if you're seeking to follow God and you want, you are so welcome to do it. Here's what we'll do. We're going to do it by what's called intinction. And the simple definition of that is there's going to be a piece of bread in a cup. You tear the piece off, you dip it into the cup, and you take it and you eat it. We'll come up to two different stations on the sides. If you are on the two side sections, come up that side aisle and go around and return to your seat. If you're in the center section, somewhere along the middle, you can decide, go either way you want, but we'll still go all the way to the outside and come around and return to your seats this way. Friends, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat with his nearest and dearest friends, who on that next day would really struggle to know what their identity is supposed to be. They've been following Jesus all these years. They were expecting things out of Jesus, and now Jesus is going to be taken and brutally killed and gone, and now their identities all disrupt. The thing that they'll have to go back to when Jesus returns is some words he said to them. He took the common loaf of bread from the meal they had and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body and it's broken for you, and every time that you eat this, you remember what I've done for you." And he took a common cup and he held it up before them and he said, "And every time that you drink this, this is the blood of my body shed for you. Remember what I've done for you, because your true identity is going to be found in these two things. And knowing my body broken for you and my blood shed for you, that's where your true identity comes from." I want to invite those who are serving to come. Servers are set. The stations are ready. I invite you to come and receive, starting from the back rows and working your way forward. Let's come and enjoy the communion. Before Jesus went to the cross, his body looked whole, like that piece of bread that we started with. When it was done, his identity had been ripped to shreds so that you could find your identity. I promise you that real identity comes through Jesus. Nothing else will do it. Real identity comes through Jesus, I promise you.